Fred Film Radio, Venice Days, at the Venice Film Festival, Italy.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Cora from Germany, and I'm one of the participants of 28 Times Cinema at the 73rd Venice Film Festival. I'm sitting here with Bruce LeBruce, filmmaker whose vast and versatile body of work includes films such as Pierrot Lunaire, which won the Teddy Jury Award at the Berlin International Film Festival in 2014, and Giron Tufilia, which was presented here at the Venice Days in 2013, I think. Thank you for joining me.
Ah, my pleasure.
So we just came from the final jury discussion. Obviously, we're going to talk about that. But first, I would really like our listeners to know what 28 Times Cinema is about, because I don't think everybody knows. So maybe you could explain in a nutshell what it is and what your role in is it in here?
My role in
28 Times Cinema in the Venice Days competition.
As you said, my film Giron Tufilia opened the Venice Days 3 years ago. So I got to know the whole Venice Days crew then, particularly Giorgio and Sylvain. So, and I was really impressed by the what their agenda, which is to showcase younger filmmakers and first time filmmakers or relatively new filmmakers. So that's really cool to see the work of people that are just emerging and see them developing their style and aesthetics and then I found out about the concept of the jury, which is different from when I was here before. The 28 people from 28 European countries, and I think that added a whole new dimension to the jury. I like that it's an experimental jury, that it's something different. It makes it more complex, but in a way more democratic somehow. There's a lot of different viewpoints and different perspectives, so that made it kind of very special.
So how come you decided to join this year as the president of the jury?
Well, I mean, it's hard to turn down 10 days in Venice. I'd actually been in Germany. I have a new film in post-production called The Misandrists. And so I was doing post-production already in Berlin, so I just flew over from there. And, you know, I think it's important for filmmakers to participate in juries if they can. I think it's I'm also a film critic. I write for a website called Talkhouse Film, and it's a website dedicated to filmmakers writing about other filmmakers' films. And I think it's really good to keep that kind of debate happening and not to be able to not be afraid to critique other filmmakers' films because of politics or because of politeness or, you know, I mean, you have to really form a strong opinion about cinema, and you have to have your convictions, and you have to be able to defend not only your own films, but critique other people's films. So
you think there's a difference between how film critics view films and how filmmakers write about films?
I mean, I started out more as a critic, so I really try to approach it as a critic. I mean, of course, you know, a critic who makes films, him or herself, might have a little bit more sympathy for the whole idea of how difficult it is to make a film and how excruciating the process can be, how hard it is to raise the money, how technically difficult it is, you know, all these considerations. And so just the accomplishment of making a feature film is quite amazing, and how collaborative it is and how many different people contribute to creating the final product. So from that perspective, I think you have it maybe makes me a little more sympathetic in general to just the whole process. But otherwise, I think you just have to distance yourself from all that and really be objective and judge the film on its own merits.
Had you ever been on a jury before?
Yeah, I've been on quite a few, including the Stockholm International Film Festival jury and about 10 years ago, and the Copenhagen International Film Festival, the Torino and Hamburg LGBT festivals. I was the president of the Queer Palm at Cannes 2 years ago. So, and there's been some others. So I'm fairly experienced.
But how would you compare your experience here with this jury now? Because I assume it's quite different because there's so many of us.
Yeah, it was a totally different experience. Like I said, it almost is like a metaphor for the European Union, of course, except I'm the outsider, I'm the Canadian. But in that way, it had kind of almost a interesting political dimension to it, you know, in terms of diplomacy and the way different people view different films depending on cultural differences. So that was really interesting. And then I also appreciated that the jury itself was composed of mostly younger people who are just starting out in their careers, some just out of high school. So there's a certain freshness, or, you know, maybe a little more purity, less maybe a little less cynicism, you know, with a younger jury in assessing the films, and an openness, a willingness to consider other viewpoints and other concepts of cinema. So that was really refreshing for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I really thought about a lot in this experience about how to judge films, and I think that's been a really big topic for all of us, like, because we've compared so many different ways how to judge films, which are the criteria. So I'd be really interested in, what are your criteria? What do you base your judgment on?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to, in some ways you have to take cultural difference into consideration, but you also have to understand that there are universal concepts of cinema, and that's why cinema is so universal, because it has its own language, it has its own conventions, and it kind of communicates cross-culturally. But on the other hand, you know, we saw a couple of Asian films in the competition, one from the Philippines, one from Taiwan, that I really liked, both of them, and if I had my way, at least one of them would have been in the top three. So, and I think, you know, in some ways, it is a cultural difference. The Asian films can have a different kind of a different approach to cinema. So, so that was interesting. I was wondering if it was more of a cultural misunderstanding that the films weren't maybe appreciated more, but in general, I think the films have to be judged on certain criteria, such as aesthetics and the consistency of aesthetics. You know, a filmmaker ideally, I think, has to develop a style, and we see a lot. I saw a lot of films that, especially with younger filmmakers, where they're being highly referential, where they're like they're wearing their references on their sleeves, and like making a film that's very much like their favorite filmmaker. And
you mean in this competition?
Yeah, in this competition.
Like which, for example?
Well, I would say the most obvious example would be the Colombian film Guilty Men, which had elements of the Coen brothers, elements of Sam Peckinpah, you know. I mean, any genre film, in a way, would tend to follow that pattern. There's a lot of... I've seen a lot of other films, and even other Asian films, about the missing child, you know. And it's kind of a genre in itself. Or the abducted child. So, you know, there are genres that are universal as well, but the point of developing a personal style as a filmmaker is to use the genre for your own purposes and make it your own interpretation of that genre, and not just copy your favorite directors, you know, but integrate it into your own aesthetic and your own style. I mean, that's the real challenge, and I think filmmakers do that more and more as they progress. And then, of course, there's the obvious criteria of you know, acting. Personally, in my films, I'm often accused of having bad acting in my films. But for me, I use elements of camp, elements of melodrama, at least I try to, like, consciously. And I also work with a lot of non-actors who I expect to deliver extremely difficult dialogue. So, and that tension between a non-actor and a script that's quite complex is part of my style, I would say. So, but you have to do, it's like a deliberate choice. So, but you can judge a film in terms of its, whatever it sets out to do. If it sets out to be a narrative film that that plays within conventions, then how well does it actually achieve the goal that it had to begin with, and how consistently does it represent the director's point of view?
So, what do you think is the connection between the films you make and the films you like? Do you think there's a strong connection?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like so many different kinds of films. I'm really a cinephile, and I like all different genres. I've studied a lot of films from a lot of different countries. I watch a lot of documentaries. I watch a lot of experimental films, non-narrative films. So for me, it's I think that's an interesting perspective to have as well, that you're not just judging a film, a narrative film that is strictly narrative, where it follows those conventions and unquestioningly, because there are a lot of other options. I mean, you can disrupt a film in many, many ways if you have the urge to. So sometimes I think we get trapped into this idea that narrative film, kind of Hollywood style film, is the only option of making a film, and really the options are vast. There's formalist films, there's films that really challenge viewership, that are kind of perhaps even aggressively opaque or oblique, that challenge the audience to try to be more engaged and figure out what it is, or something they've never seen before.
So I think we have already touched upon some of the films in the competition, so I would like to ask you, what did you think of the selection in general, and also of the final three films?
I think, as on any jury, there's always the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I was impressed by a number of the films, I would say four or five of the films. Then there was some in the middle that, I thought worked in some ways and failed in other ways. And then there was a few that I just wasn't having at all. Which I think is probably a good indication that in terms of programming, that it's a wide range of films. It's a range of different kinds of films. The fact that there was only one documentary in the competition, which ultimately was the film that we ended up choosing as the top film, I almost wish there had been at least one other documentary, so that it wasn't so imbalanced in that sense, and it would open up the discussion more between what distinguishes narrative from documentary, and indeed, should they be separated? Should they? How can you, how can you compare narrative and documentary? I mean, I think my conclusion from watching The War Show was that it is a film about how reality is fictionalized. And in my experience with watching documentary, especially more lately, when you have so many personality-driven documentaries or experimental documentaries, mm-hmm. that sometimes the distinction between documentary and narrative film, narrative fiction film, becomes a little superfluous, especially as cinema develops. And as I said on the jury, I mean, there's now precedences where where documentary films have won the top prizes at the Venice Film Festival, at the Berlinale. So it's I think that's...
And they just introduced a documentary prize at the Berlin Film Festival, so that's like another focus. They're going to that direction as well.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's not a problem for me that we chose a documentary. It's just it's kind of a shame that there wasn't at least one other one to have considered. I mean, the three films that we chose, I think, for the top three to discuss, it's quite interesting because you had the kind of three extremely different films representing three different kinds of experiences. So you have the political documentary with very strong narrative and elements and very personal kind of stories. And then you have, in the middle, you have Heartstone, which is, the Icelandic film that was kind of the heartwarming story, the kind of more popular kind of movie because it's pretty gentle in how it presents its subject. It's a coming-of-age story, so in some ways it's a conventional movie, but it was done so well and didn't fall into a lot of the pitfalls of these kinds of sentimental movies that it really was a really, really good example of how that kind of film can work really well. It also had a queer angle in it, which was interesting. And then you had Hounds of Love, which is a genre movie. It's much more based on techniques of suspense and horror and you know, but in a way it kind of almost had a documentary feel as well because it was based on a true story and it was these kinds of abduction stories are in the news all the time. And it was quite harrowing, and it was a disturbing film to watch. I felt physically ill at times during the film, and it certainly was the film, I think, probably along with The War Show, that really kept our attention the most throughout the entire film and really pushed emotional buttons, you know.
I remember the president of the Panorama section at the Berlinale this year saying that they actually introduced two different audience awards, a documentary one and a fictional one, because documentaries always kept on winning. So do you think that it might be something that should be introduced here as well?
Well, you know, yeah, I guess, but I mean, sometimes, as I said, I argue between sometimes... The very distinction between documentary and narrative fiction film necessary because in some ways documentary is fiction. I mean, it's not an objective representation of reality. There's always there's an intervention by an author by a director. The documentary filmmakers develop a style, a filmic style, just like narrative filmmakers do. Increasingly, there's personality-driven, like Michael Moore-style documentaries, which are kind of a whole different category of documentary. There's so many different styles of documentary now as well. So, I don't know, I sort of feel two ways about it. The thing is, one could have made a film about Syria that wasn't a documentary about Syria that wasn't successful at all. I mean, a filmmaker could have made a film about Syria that truly was much more manipulative, I think, exploitative, or that that doesn't articulate the complexity of the crisis. One could easily make a bad documentary about the Syrian conflict, but clearly this film wasn't that film. I mean, this film succeeded on a number of levels, and I think, as one of the jurors said, I think it really is the essence of cinema in some ways because of this camera. And the hidden camera and the forbidden camera and how it was passed around and how it became the only mode of communicating, you know, this narrative. I kind of like that that these films are being evaluated on the same level, because sometimes people have a dismissive attitude towards documentaries as well.
So since time is almost up, I want to conclude by asking you more about what you're working on right now. You said it's a feature film, Misandrist, you said. Can you tell me a bit more about what it's about?
Yeah, I actually have two films that I've shot that are now in post, a short film and a feature film, both shot in Germany. The Misandrist is a feature film about a group of lesbian separatists, essentialist feminist terrorists.
That sounds interesting.
It's kind of a loose sequel to an earlier film of mine, The Raspberry Reich, which is about a group of left-wing would-be terrorists, extreme left radical would-be terrorists. But it operates as a kind of satire, but at the same time a kind of homage to the beliefs of the radical left. It's kind of a balance of critiquing the radical left and yet supporting it, a lot of its principles. The Misandrist does the same thing with the topic of feminism. So it explores ideas of feminism and critiques certain styles of radical feminism that, like any extreme radical political position, quite often finds itself painted into corners or in kind of moral dilemmas or contradictory positions that it can't resolve, you know, that may even start to betray the original ideals that it had in the beginning.
Are there going to be female activists in it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's 14 very strong female characters in the film. Each one, you know, it's a multiracial cast. It's a film very much about strong women, it's very rare, you know, to find a film that has so many female characters that are all talking about female issues and about things very specifically involving the problematics that women face, you know. So in that sense, it passes the Bechdel test by 1,000%.
But I meant the activists that go around naked and writing on messages on their on their naked bodies. Femen, I think.
Oh, right. Yes, I know about them. Well, in my film, I mean, their plan to start a female revolution is to make lesbian porn. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that one. Maybe in the Venice Days next year. Who knows?
Oh, maybe. You never know. And then I have a short film as well, which was actually commissioned by Barcelona-based. It's called Refugees Welcome, and it's based by sponsored by a Barcelona-based porn company called Erica Lust. So it's a sexually explicit film, but on the subject of a Syrian refugee in Germany, who is a poet, who meets a poet from Czech Republic, and they have an encounter together. So,
sounds really interesting. Thank you, Bruce, for taking the time.
My pleasure.
So this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.